Psalm 75, I'm going to read, the first six verses here of this psalm. It says, "We give thanks to you, O God, we give thanks, for your name is near. Men declare your wondrous works. When I select an appointed time, it is I who judge with equity. The earth and all who dwell in it melt. It is I who have firmly set its pillars. I said to the boastful, do not boast, and to the wicked, do not lift up the horn. Do not lift up your horn on high. Do not speak with insolent pride. For not from the east, nor from the west, nor from the desert comes exaltation." I hope that you've been taking seriously the Lord's voice concerning pride in your life. At the end of the day, our rewards that we're going to receive from the Lord Jesus at the Bema Seat is partly dependent on your renunciation of all forms of pride. The only way a church or a believer can be exalted is if he is humbled. Does everybody hear that? What I mean, humbled? Well, not that our pride, becomes a stiff neck or a stubborn heart, but that we literally grow in humility. James writes, based on this characteristic of God, James writes this: "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will exalt you." Do you hear that? In other words, He's not making this up. This is our Lord's nature. He exalts humility, and He cast down pride. And years ago, as I was studying the Bema Seat, I often, for a while, spoke of this to myself, that the Bema judgment was the greatest occasion of the humility of every believer that will ever take place. Now you just think about that. Think about seeing your works, wood, hay, and stubble, being burned up. Do you think that would be a humbling experience? Yes. And would it not be a cause for rejoicing in the Lord if there was gold, silver, and precious stones because of what He did in your life? So there is this default position of the Lord to people on the earth, to a church, to people within a church, to a believer. There is this default pattern of this: if you exalt yourself, you're asking to be cast down. If you humble yourself, you're asking to be lifted up or exalted. Everybody see that, okay? So when wicked people exalt themselves, what they are really exalting in is their ultimate fall. And we know that's true. I was listening to a preacher this past week, and they made mention of this. All nations go through a process of birth, rising, and falling. There's no nation ever in the history of mankind that has not gone through cycles of that. Well, do you think our nation is an exception? Well, listen to this. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Do you hear that? Okay, you exalt yourself, you lift up the horn, you speak with insolent pride, you boast in yourself, you walk around with self-confidence, you look to yourself for things, and you're just setting yourself up. You may have short-term prosperity, but at the end of the day, you fall. But if you humble yourself, and in the short term, it may look like you're losing. Everybody following me. Because we live, my wife and I were talking about this, we live in a world that is absolutely saturated with pride. As you well know, I've been given a lot of thought to this, and I'm walking around and I'm listening to documentaries, I'm listening to sports, I'm reading the newspaper, I'm looking at the news on the internet, I'm hearing people talk outside, and I'm just sitting, it's like I got a little counter, pride, 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 pride. And they don't even know it. And folks, the sad thing about it is that we as God's people don't always know it either, do we? And I made mention last Wednesday of a personal example, and it was several years ago that the Lord used in my life of getting mad because, you know, I was being slowed down and I had to get somewhere, and I got upset about it. I mean, I wasn't, you know, road rage or anything, but I was, you know, I was angry about it. Like, can't you get out of the way? The right hand is the slow side, you know, that type of thing. And this thought came into my mind. Why do you think you're more important than that other person? I was exalting myself, wasn't I? That my ways and my thinking and my schedule and my to-dos was more important than anybody else's. And you know what happens when that comes, and you've heard this verse from the book of Proverbs. Only by pride comes contention. You show me an angry man, I'll show you a prideful man. Now there is righteous anger. And with that, we are to be angry. But most of the time, that's not what we deal with, is it? This is what the saints are rejoicing in. The saints are giving thanks to the Lord because of His name being near, the particular aspect of His name, the particular aspect of who He is that He is a judge. And one of the foundational truths that our Lord judges by is this: you lift up your horn, He will cast it down. You humble yourself before the Lord, He will what? Exalt you. He will lift you up. And folks, there is an aspect, and I'm just going to speak from personal experience as well as I think the scripture backs this up. Folks, there's an aspect of humility that we don't like. We are naturally, by the flesh, resistant to biblical humility. And so it is an act of grace, isn't it, for God's people to be rejoicing in this. And so they are rejoicing in this. And then in verses 2 through 5, you actually have God speaking about this when He says He actually talked to the wicked. He talks to boastful people. And the reason why I'm using the word wicked is if you look down at verse 10, it says, all the horns of the wicked He will cut off, but the horns of the righteous will be what? Lifted up. So here in this context, the boastful are the wicked. The ones seeking to lift their horn up on high are wicked people. And the Lord says, do not boast and do not lift up your horn. I'm telling you, don't lift up your horn on high. And we've all been children, and we all know that when our parents repeat a command, they're pretty what? They're pretty serious about it. And the Lord repeats this. Now, folks, all forms of pride, whether it be self-trust or self-confidence, is rebellion. It's rebellion. Think about our Lord, meek, lowly, gentle, long-suffering. Was our Lord humble? Did He have to keep lowering Himself to become obedient? Yes or no? All right, did you hear that? If you're going to be an obedient believer, you're going to have to humble yourselves to do it. Men do not value humility. They will try to talk you out of it. They will try to shame you from it. Mankind does not value humble circumstances. And folks, this is one of the beauties of a Spirit-filled congregation. A Spirit-filled congregation does not envy another member of that church because they have material goods. Nor does a person with material goods look down on someone else who is poor or impoverished. We are one. Does everybody hear that? In a Spirit-filled church, nobody's saying, you better listen to me because I give a lot. Nobody's saying, well, you ought to listen to me. Don't you know who I am? But there's this mutual humility one to another in which really, if I could word it this way, class distinctions. James words it by this, distinctions. James chapter 2 about the rich. When the rich man comes in, you give him the best seats. Poor man comes in, you say, well, you know, back there in the back corner. Okay. James uses the word, you're making distinction. We don't walk around making distinction. The only distinction that we have is, are you born again? Right? Now, not making distinctions doesn't mean that you don't acknowledge the reality of things. It means it doesn't affect your viewpoint of one another. We neither envy nor do we look down. Why? Because our trust is not in position, wealth, or education. We're trusting the Lord who richly gives how many things? All things. So if God gives to someone material goods, hallelujah! The Lord. If the Lord doesn't give material goods, but He gives grace, hallelujah! Everybody see what I'm saying? But when pride creeps into our hearts and lives, then people start siding up, just like you have in our nation. Do you have people making distinctions in our nation? Pointing them out. Making sure you know about it. Okay? That is divisive. That is an evidence of pride. And it just wasn't our former administration that was steeped in pride. Our present administration is steeped in pride. Lost people strive to lift themselves up. They want to, quote, climb the ladder. Sometimes I've heard this, more so in days gone by, I'm a self-made man. What do they mean by that? I did it. That's pride. You ever heard this ridiculous statement? I pull myself up by my bootstraps. I've worked hard to get where I am today. In all those statements, it starts out with what subject? I. When you start out the subject with I, you're probably pretty close to making a prideful statement. And folks, all of that is foolishness and all of that is arrogance. For it's the Lord who provides all things. If you got a PhD, thank the Lord. If you don't have a PhD, thank the Lord. Some of the wisest people I've ever met were people that were uneducated, but they were believing people. And I remember years ago in this church, a man coming to my study and looking at me with tears in his eyes and just breaking down because he was uneducated and he felt stupid and he just went on and on. And finally, I just called his name. I said, "Stop. I've never done this." I got his head. I looked at him eyeball to eyeball. I said, "Don't you ever say that again. Because education doesn't make a person. Do you hear me? The Lord gives wisdom. Out of His mouth comes knowledge and understanding." Now, I'm not decrying education. I've got a few books. Okay? I'm for education. If you can sharpen your axe for the Lord, sharpen it. But you can chop a tree down with a dull axe, it'll just take you longer. When we read verses 6 and 7, "For not from the east, nor from the west, nor from..." Could be translated from the south, that's where the desert were if you're orienting yourself there in Israel. "Nor from the south comes exaltation." Normally when we read a passage like that, we read it this way. Well, if I get a promotion, then that is of the Lord. Because promotion, exaltation, comes from where? The Lord. Or we'll say, well, the Lord put that person in office. Those things are true. Romans 13 says, "The powers that be are ordained of God." And Jesus told Pilate, "You would have no authority over me unless it was given you from above." Okay? But that's not what this verse is emphasizing. Folks, verse 6 is a verse that is a cause for thanksgiving. This verse is a cause of rejoicing among God's people. And they are mentioning this. Verse 6 is a conclusion that is flowing out of what God has said in verses 2 through 5 directly. They are rejoicing over this, that the Lord judges for this ultimate end. All His judgment is for this ultimate end: to cut off the wicked and to exalt the righteous. That's what this verse is teaching. Now let me ask you this. Is that not a cause of thanksgiving? Think about your wicked world. In a new heaven and new earth wherein dwells righteousness, who's going to be in places of power then? Well, the meek will inherit the earth. Does everybody hear that? Okay? So we're rejoicing because God judges for this ultimate end, because He's the one that gives the exaltation. And we know that when He judges, He is judging for this end. Wicked people fall, humble people are lifted up. And that's exciting. And so, as I mentioned, when wicked people pull their strings to get their way, and do they do that? When wicked people pull the strings to get their way into places of power and position and wealth, they are only exalting themselves to be ultimately cast down violently. This is why the Lord says, when the wicked prosper like a tree, don't fret. Because they're going to fade away like the grass of the field. They may rise up for a season, but the Lord is the judge, isn't He? And folks, remember that we said that this is the Lord's decision. This isn't a democratic decision. This is His decision and His decision alone. Exaltation, or being lifted up, verse 6, does not come from the east. It doesn't come from the west. It doesn't come from the south. All right, where are all those locations? They're all under the sun, aren't they? But exaltation comes from the Lord, and where's He? He's above. And folks, I want you to think about this. Where is hell? Down. Where is heaven? Up. If you're going to go to heaven, the Lord's going to have to lift you up. Yes? And if you're going to hell, all you have to do is lift yourself up. And you will go down. And sometimes you've heard preachers say this, that the way up is down by being humble. The judge of all the earth throws down the proud and exalts the humble. And folks, even when wicked people find themselves in places of power, the Bible calls upon them to walk humbly before the Lord of all the earth. He tells them to do that. There are verses in our Bible that are written directly to judges of the earth. That's written directly to our Supreme Court. They are under divine obligation to walk humbly and judge righteously and give glory to God in all things, because there is a final judgment coming. And He will cast down the wicked in this life, and if He doesn't cast down the wicked in this life by His righteous judgment, He will cast them down in that day, will He not? Folks, think about this. The Scripture actually foretells that Lucifer will be cast down and men will look at him and say, why in the world are we so afraid of him? And God will exalt the righteous. There is coming a final day of judgment when that will be fully accomplished. And folks, that is as guaranteed as the Lord lives. Because this is who He is. So folks, where does exaltation come from? It comes from the Lord. Can you pull strings to get ahead in this life? You can, from man's perspective, can't you? Can you lie and cheat and steal and get into places of power? Can you bribe? The answer to that is what? Yes, but ultimately it's the Lord who's allowing you to rise up. But when you're lifting yourself up like that, the day is coming, you're going to be cast down. And folks, if our nation says to herself, like the harlot in Revelation, I sit as a queen, I'll never see loss, I'll never see the stock market go down, I'll never see the ruin of our current currency, I'll never see the loss of worldwide power, I don't know of any nation that hasn't fallen. Now, I want to conclude with just a couple of applications that I think may help us think about this a little bit more. Folks, since exaltation does not come from the West or the East or the South, what are a few lessons for us? Well, I've heard this from God's people and I've heard it out in the world. It's who you know moves things forward. Well, unless you're talking about knowing the Lord, which is not what the world's talking about. Folks, it's not who you know that gets things accomplished. When you say, we got this accomplished because I got a hold of the right people and I did this, that is a prideful statement. You are not giving glory to God for this. When you say, as I've heard lost people say many times, I was in the right place at the right time. Okay, what's the subject of that sentence? Folks, the Lord controls providence, doesn't He? When you say, I got ahead because I was in the right place at the right time and I knew the right people, that is pride. When you say, without giving any glory to God, I figured it out. I had the right answer. It's my wisdom. It's my smarts. It's my energy. I worked hard to get this. This is what's due to me. Those are all statements of pride. I hear this a lot. I watch sports and they'll always say, well, I believed in myself. It'd be hard not to believe in yourself. But anyway, I believed in myself. And I worked hard for this. Do you know what? I bet there's a lot of athletes out there that are working hard that didn't get it. I think there's a lot of people out there who work hard at what they do and they're not wealthy. Yes or no? It is a statement of self-exaltation. Your and my hard work gets us ultimately nowhere. It's the Lord. And the best thing, young people, the best thing you can do, adults, the best thing we can do, the best thing I can do is every day do my best to walk humbly before our great God. And you may not get anywhere in this life that way. But I guarantee you, our Lord humbled Himself to be obedient all the way to death, all the way to the death of the cross. And what's the next verse? God highly exalted Him. You think He regrets His humble obedience? And you won't either when you see Him. Folks, this is His Spirit. His Spirit is not one of cockiness, of self-confidence, of self-trust. It is a humble spirit. It is a meek spirit. At the end of the day, it is the Lord. And that's what these saints are thanking God for. Can you thank God for this? That this is who He is. And folks, I tell you who can thank God for it. The humble. Humble people are not looking for all their reward now. Because they know they're going to stand before Him one day. And in examining myself, and then my wife and I have been, my wife knows, anytime I get something on my mind, my wife hears about it for weeks. We are just shot through with this in our flesh. Your flesh, at the bottom line of every sin your flesh tempts you with, is pride. Because it's rebellion against the Lord. And children, even in your home, when mom and dad tell you something to do, you have to humble yourselves to do it. You don't say in your heart, well, what right do they have? Tell me what to do for me. I know what's best for me. Oh, you're so spiritual. Wrong. You're arrogant. And you may not see the results of your arrogancy for 10 years, for 20 years. It may be 30 years. But you'll see it. And you will regret it. May God breathe upon us the Spirit of Jesus Christ.